Welcome to the Marketing Pulpit with Robert Gatewood. Learn how to grow your business by attracting and retaining good-paying customers. Now here's marketing expert Robert Gatewood.
Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community for God's sake. And we do it every Friday at 10:30 a.m. right here on Radio 1WOL. Now, the mission of the show is to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And we accomplish this mission with job creation, business development, and service. So if you have a business and you find yourself at that business crossroads and wondering which way to turn, you need to turn no further than the radio dial right here to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We're on our sixth year of broadcasting, and we have made some strides. Sometimes it seems like an insurmountable task. It's like, feels like you're dipping a cup out of the ocean. But it takes all of us. It takes all of our efforts. It takes a steady training of our resources and strengths and beliefs and faith and sweat and equity to tackle this problem of building economic empowerment in our community. It's not a one-person task. We've been at it, and we're going to continue to be at it for as long as I have some breath in me. There's an old French phrase called raison d'etre. It means literally reason for being. Why are you on this earth? And if I can give you no other information or advice today, I would say find your reason for being. Find your raison d'etre, because once you discover that, everything else just falls into place. Some people are just hopping around like a bunny rabbit, going from one thing to another, not sure where they're going to be. But look down in your soul and say, what am I good at? What am I here for? What is my purpose? You find that, and you will find which business you should be in. You should find who you should hire. You should find where you should locate your business and what customers you should go after. It's not that hard, folks. It's inside of you. So don't let all these external forces misguide you, send you in the wrong direction. If you're not sure, just tune in right here to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host, and I'm here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. The number here is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. We have a show today like no other, but I say that every Friday. But guess what? That's because every show is different. Today we're going to talk about something that's just going to blow your mind. If you've been watching the conventions over the last couple of weeks, then you probably have noticed that this looks a lot like what Robert Gibb has been talking about. It's like marketing, whether you're going after votes or sales, customers or voters, the hot buttons are all the same. And I'm going to break it down to you today throughout this show on how the same techniques that apply for getting votes and getting voters is the same thing you use for getting sales and getting customers. And I'm going to break it down to you today in the marketing sermon. I have also joining me in this task is Alina Seven. Alina Seven, welcome to the show. Good morning, good morning.
They're both about to get the security briefings that President Obama gets every day. How they talk.
All right. We call India. She's our solar energy expert. And she's going to be joining us today throughout the show, providing commentary. And later in the show at the 11 o'clock hour, she's going to talk about this solar energy. Matter of fact, they were talking about energy at the DNC. I heard people talking about. So you're in an area that's really hot right now. We're worrying about the carbon footprint. We're worrying about our earth. We're worrying about having an earth for the next generation. So glad to have you on the show today. So welcome. And later in the show, what are you going to talk about today later on?
We're going to talk about why you should go solar, how you can do it at no cost to you.
Hey, wait a minute. You said no cost?
Yeah.
Hey, wait. All right. Okay. Going solar with no cost. What else you got?
And we just really want to explain how it works.
How it works. All right. So that's going to be later in the show. That's in Dia Thibodeau. Also go to marketingpulpit.com. If you have not been to our website, this is a good opportunity to go right now and find out what we are up to on the regular. That's marketingpulpit.com. We have a blog of all of our guests. We have, you can listen to some past shows. You can see who's supporting us. You can find the mission of the show. You can find out about yours truly, Robert Gatewood, and all of the hosts, including Alina Sevlin, William Maxwell. And we have shows in all the other, some of the other markets like New York and Charlotte, North Carolina, Houston, Texas, Marvin, North Carolina. We have a disability show and we have a sports show on Saturday morning. So folks, this is the Marketing Pulpit. If you've been missing out, it's never too late for a good thing. The number is 1-800-450-7876. I've been watching the conventions over the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure, and Dia, you probably caught a couple of them, and Elena Selma, I'm sure you probably, it's been hard not to. It's in prime time, and it's been the buzz. But I tell you what, now, I've been watching speeches after speech after speech. I watched President Obama, I watched the First Lady, Michelle, I watched, of course, the Democratic nominee, Secretary Clinton, and Vice President Biden, and the Tim Kaine. But there was only one speech that I've actually gone back to hear again, and it wasn't one of those main headliners. If you haven't already, check out the speech of Reverend William Barber out of North Carolina. He spoke last night. Boy, you talking about somebody who brought down the house. Oh, my goodness. He had a little bit of Southern gospel. He talked about the heart. We're fighting for the heart of our democracy. And he said, sometimes when the heart is bad, you got to bring in some good people with a good heart, and how we are the moral defibrillators of the heart of the democracy. So you got to go.
He was excellent.
This guy.
He was excellent.
You saw that
thing,
Sam?
He was compelling.
That guy.
I saw a part of it, and then the storm and DirecTV threw it out, so I have to go back.
I saw it last night. I actually went back and I Googled him this morning on Google and brought it up again. One of the websites, I think it was Esquire, one of those websites, they had the full video on their website. And they pretty much basically kind of echoing what I said, that this was, he summed up everything. He summed up everything that was right with the country and which direction the country needs to go in. What's, you know, what was wrong and what's right. And so he summed it up probably better than anybody. I thought that President Obama was in a class by himself and delivering memorable speeches. But check out this Reverend William Barber. He's a force to be reckoned with, and you're going to hear more about him because, as we all know, I think it was in 2008 that President Obama, or 2004 when President Obama made his speech to the convention, and that catapulted him to the national stage. So keep your eye out for Reverend William
Definitely.
Barber.
Definitely. You know, I just want to say, Robert, that I think if you're just looking for someone who is strictly about experience, mm-hmm. It really is a no-brainer right there, because you look at it, and I'm not saying to vote for who, you vote for whoever you want to, but you can't help ignore the fact that Hillary was doing things for women and children when it didn't even matter.
Yeah.
When nobody was watching. And that's compelling right there. And she also mentioned it, and she mentioned my hometown. She said that her career started when she graduated from law school. She went to New Bedford, Massachusetts, and she went door to door, and that's my hometown. And she went there when she was working for the Children's Defense Fund. And she talked about going door to door, discovering a lot of children that were home because they had some sort of handicap issue, and parents didn't know what to do with them, so they left them at home in my hometown, and she had discovered that. And as a result of her discovery, that is when a law came about that said that handicapped children could go to school, they could get one free meal a day in public schools, and that the public schools needed to provide for them. That's huge right there. And she did that when no one was watching. That was pre Bill Clinton becoming governor.
Elena Selvin, doesn't that bring up another issue? Is what we do when, and this may be an exaggeration, but it's something I actually believe. What you do when others are watching is really, that's kind of almost staged, because you know the lights are on you. What you do when nobody's watching,
when no
that's
one
that's you.
Watching.
That's the real you.
Yeah.
That is the real you.
And that's why it's hard to talk about her when you see that she has done so much. And I realized, I kept thinking, you know, what was really her passion? Because I really couldn't understand where her passion was coming from.
Hang on a second. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let you finish on the other side. We're listening to The Marketing Pulpit, 1-800-450-7876. We'll be right back after the break. This is The Marketing Pulpit. Welcome you back on this political season. We've had a hot summer, a long hot summer. Damn, speaking of hot, it is hot outside too. But the political season has heated up. But I'm also very aware, I'm cognizant that the emotional stimulators that push us to a particular candidate or to vote a certain way are the same stimuli that make us buy or choose a certain product or service. I'm going to give you a teaser. For instance, I talked about this reason for being. You look at somebody like Hillary Clinton, and whether you agree with her or disagree with her, talking about somebody who is doing what she was put on this earth to do. Absolutely. I mean, she started when she was like Elena Salvin said, she started right out of school when nobody was watching, and she has been consistent. No matter what her ups and downs were, whether she was an attorney, whether she was a secretary of state, whether she was a senator, now as a first lady, she found her reason for being. And so that's one of the first parallels I'm going to put out here for you today. When you're looking at the politicians like President Obama, Hillary Clinton, or even, I don't want to say, it's hard to say Donald Trump's name, but let's say somebody on the other side.
I was just going to say that you have to also, when you're making that assessment that you're saying, when you're looking at the candidates and you're trying to assess them, I think that you also have to look, what drives them? What is their passion?
Guess what? That makes it consistent, because what drives the passion of Donald Trump is money, is accumulating wealth. It is not serving the public.
But look what drives Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily, yes, it is women, yes, it is children. But what I learned last night that drives her is her inability, her processing her mother's poverty was deeply painful for her.
Right.
That's what drives Hillary. She wants to help in a way that she could not help her mother, because that to her is very painful, to know that her mother went without food and was hung, you know, was part of the, she was 14, she was a domestic, and she couldn't even get food even in school. And school cafeteria person used to bring her food and give her coupons to go to the store just to get her some food. Her mother's poverty was deeply, deeply painful, but yet motivating for her. I think that motivates her. And that right there, in and of itself, is something completely different than
And what... Look at your heart and what motivates you to go into business, to be a business owner. Once you find that motivation, that impetus, that raison d'etre, you are much more likely to be successful than somebody who did it because, A, you saw somebody else do it, your parents did it, it seemed like a quick way to make a buck. Those reasons will lead you to the path of ruin. But if you follow your heart, your instinct, your reason for being, you will find success at the end of that rainbow. We're talking about looking at your business and looking at what has been happening over the last couple of weeks during the political conventions and how the parallels run, because marketing is an emotional decision. And later in the show, I'm going to give you some parallels, some of the things that and probably some of the politicians should probably tune in too. And if you're missing on these points, on these cylinders, then they could take a note from The Marketing Pulpit. I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. I have Lena Seven, and I have India Thibodeau. We're going to talk about how politics and running a business or kissing cousins, how they appeal to the same emotions that help us make decisions in our daily lives. Dia is going to talk about solar energy and how this whole process works. And Link 7 is this brain working out. Yeah, if you want to be thinking,
yes.
With thinking people.
Let me just explain. So BDNF, everybody knows that. The more you produce, the better it is for you, okay? So also, when you exercise, it fights depression and anxiety. And so depression slows the brain's ability, okay, to process information. It makes it more difficult for us to concentrate and reach decisions and causes real memory problems, including all of these. And for serious depression, obviously, your doctor has to prescribe antidepressants. But for milder cases, exercise may actually help lift your mood, like Andrea was talking about. When you exercise, it cranks up the body's production of serotonin, also dopamine. We know that when we lose dopamine, that is the onset of a bunch of other things.
All right. And also, they need to come out to one of your boot camps. And they should be leaving that turning cartwheels from happiness after workout you give them.
Hey, I mean, you know, my boot camps are on another level. That's real difficult. You know, I do it even in 90-degree temperatures. So it's not for everybody, and it's not for the average.
Well, how can they find out about it?
It is for, well, I mean, you just go to alina7.com, and you can always reach out to me about it, and I can go into more detail with everybody about my boot camp and all the other things that I do, the training sessions that I do for different people. So, definitely get out there and exercise. It's really, really crucial.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Alina 7. She's one of our co-hosts, and she is bringing us the word as she does on most Fridays. So go to her website, alina7.com. We also have in the studio India Thibodeau. We're talking about energy today. And also later in the show, on the next segment, we're going to talk about politics and marketing. Man, I tell you, and I believe, you just get your pad and pencil out, because you will be informed, entertained, and energized as you watch this political process unfold. India, welcome to the show. Tell us, first of all, what is it that you do?
Well, I'm a solar energy consultant.
Solar energy consultant. Solar like the sun, like that big red ball in the sky?
Yes.
Can you turn it down a little bit, because we got a little too much right now?
No, absolutely not. That's the most powerful energy source that we have.
I was wondering something. You probably can tell me. Because what I know about, that's why I brought you in, because there's so many questions I have. Now, on these hot days where the sun is just blaring, with no clouds in the sky from 7 in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, that's a lot of energy. That's going somewhere. Now, does that benefit somebody who has solar panels on their home?
Yes, it does. So our mission is to provide people with options for a cleaner, renewable energy.
Okay.
So when you buy a home and you move into a neighborhood, you just have one electric company to contact. Usually you've got Pepco or BG&E or SMETCO, so you don't have any choices.
Okay.
With solar, you get a choice.
Okay.
So the sun provides us, like I said, all the energy that we need in 15 seconds. And so when you have a solar panel system on your roof, you generate enough energy to where it reduces totally, in some cases with some people, completely reduces the cost of their electric bills.
So explain how this works, because we've talked about this before, and I've had questions, and I'm sure people have asked you exactly how this works. So if I have a like these solar panels themselves, I mean, these things, from what I understand, these things can run into $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the panels themselves are not, that's a big expense.
It is a big expense. So the state of Maryland and also in D.C. have a mandate that 20% of its electrical customers go solar. They want you to get off the grid. The grid is 100 years old. It hasn't been maintained, and that's why there's the blackouts and those different things that we have. So if 20% of the customers get off the grid, that really helps the electrical companies. So when you decide to go solar, what happens is you get an option in Maryland and D.C. to choose two programs which are no cost to you. You can purchase the system if you want to, but you can also do it without purchasing the system.
And how is that?
Well, what you do is you reach out and you get a consultation from me.
Okay.
We will come to your home and we do a personalized proposal for you. We actually plug in your electric bill and we draw the diagram of panels on your roof so that we see what size system you're getting, and we can show you how much you're going to save and how much, you know, the solar panels would cost if you were to purchase it.
I've had people ask this question. Is there a savings, and how do you get the savings? Now, you get the panels. Do you pay for these panels? Do you have to write a $30,000 check to get the panels?
You can purchase the panels, as I stated before, or you can do the two programs that we have that are no cost. One of the programs allows you to purchase the panels after 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The other program does not. So you have a choice in which program you want to do. If you think that down the road you want to purchase the system, you would do it at fair market value after 5 years. So you don't have to pay to go solar. That's the value of now having this program. The reason it doesn't cost you any money is because we get the state, federal, and county tax rebates.
Okay.
So that's how we're able to do it at no cost to you.
So you can come out and put the panels up. You don't have to write a single check.
Exactly. We get the permits. We do everything. You enjoy the savings because initially, as soon as you get solar and it's turned on, it's 11.7 cents a kilowatt hour. With the Pepco, it's about 15 cents. In some cases, with some people more. I met with a homeowner the other day. It was 18 cents they were paying because they had gotten on a budget plan. Sometimes those plans or those third-party providers that provide the suppliers, they cost more, even though they tell you that it's going to be less. And so immediately you see the savings right away because we're cheaper from the beginning.
So what I understand that you get your panels, and so you're paying, you're accumulating credit. So you're paying for the, you get the credit, and you're paying solar for the use of the panels based on how much sunlight credit you get. And then you can apply that to your bill to reduce the cost of your bill. Because I think some people don't understand how it actually reduces your cost. Maybe you can break that down for us.
Okay, so when you go solar, you're going to have two bills. You're going to have a solar bill, and you're going to have whatever utility company you have. It's a cooperative agreement with your utility company. So what we do is we install a net meter right next to your Pepco or BG&E meter, and the net meter is what generates your credits. So your solar panels produce more power than you need during daylight hours. And so in most states, the surplus then is pushed through to the grid. That's how you sometimes will have an electric bill that has credits on it, or an electric bill that's very, very low, because your system, your solar system, has generated so much energy that you don't need to use it, and you can use it in the wintertime when the daylight is a lot less, right?
So
the sun is less.
So it's like you have your own little power company up on your roof.
Exactly. So you have your powerhouse on your roof, which reduces your carbon footprint. And over time, as the utility companies go up and up and up, because it's getting very expensive to produce electricity the way that it's done, with burning fossil fuels and coal and using more water than we use in our own homes to generate electricity, the cost of that will continue to rise.
So what I'm hearing is that, first of all, if you're very environmentally conscious, if you're concerned about the carbon footprint, or if you're just concerned about the rising cost of your electric bill, then there is no cost to have you come out and give an assessment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you will come to anywhere in the world, or a boundary?
So we are in Maryland, we're in D.C., we're in several other states. Texas comes to mind, California. We're in about 16 states right now.
So anybody on our listening audience, let's say in the WOL D.C. area.
Yes, can call me.
Can call you, and you can come out. Now go to marketingpulpit.com. You will find India's, you'll see her picture right on the homepage. You'll also see that she's found some kind of fountain of youth, because I've known her about 5 years now, and every time I see her, she's gotten younger. So apparently solar is working for you. So check her out. On the homepage, you have her contact information. I suggest you contact this sister and have her come out and do an assessment for you and see if this is actually something that you would like to do. There's no obligation. She's not going to put you in a headlock and make you do it. If you don't want to do it, there's no harm, no foul. But I think it's worth your time if you're trying to reduce your energy bill, if you're concerned about the environment, if you're worrying about this carbon footprint, if you're worrying about the greenhouse gases being evaporated. All of those issues are good reasons to give her a call.
They can reach me at 240-381-6653. That's 240-381-6653. Or you can go to savewithsolarnow.org. That's savewithsolarnow.org. I also want to say that you can control your energy cost. And what we mean by that is, if someone were to offer you the option today to go in and purchase gas for the next 15 to 20 years at $2.30, and it would only go up 2 cents every year, wouldn't you take that deal? Or that's the same kind of situation you would be in by going solar. You're getting it at a low cost right now, knowing exactly how much it's going to go up over the next few years, and you're going to know exactly how much you're going to save.
Wow. That sounds like a... I can think of no reason why you wouldn't call her and let her come out. If you're in the D.C. area, Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Prince George's County, Montgomery County, Silver Spring area, give her a call. Go to marketingpulpit.com. The information is right on the homepage. You can click on that link and fill out that form, and she can actually come out and do an assessment. India, thank you for that information. We will have you back, because I am also one of those people that's very conscious of the environment, which kind of baffles me about the Republican Party. A lot of these folks in that group say they don't believe that climate change is real. It really blows my mind.
It is.
So thank you, India. So hang around and you continue to provide commentary as we get into other facets of the show.
Okay.
I'd like to remind you about our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites. Go to BLESuites.com. If you're looking for a place to conduct your business, to have meetings, to meet your clients, they're convenient to D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Annapolis. Go to BLESuites.com or call 301-322-1700. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, votes or customers, it doesn't matter. You want to hear this. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break. Welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. Go to marketingpulpit.com for more information on how we roll over here and some of the things we're doing for the community, some of the causes we're involved in, the guests we bring on board, and really what we're trying to do is create a better economic empowerment system for our community. Now, if you've watched the conventions over the last couple of weeks, if you learned nothing else, you should have learned that marketing for votes is no different than marketing for sales. You should have learned that getting voters is no different than getting customers. They're the same, because it's all driven by emotion. So what I'm going to do today is draw the parallel between getting elected to a higher office and taking your business to a higher level. We talked about the raison d'etre. First thing you got to do is look in your heart and your soul. You got to look in the mirror and say, look, why am I on this earth? Why am I on this earth? Is it to make a difference? When you find that difference, then you've already found the path, whether it's political office or to a successful business. First thing, that's the first thing you got to do. Now you got to get people to follow you. You got to get people to vote for you. You got to get people to buy your products and service. It's an emotional decision. So you got to find the emotional stimuli. What is motivating people to come on your side? There's not a lot of reasons. It's only about six, really. It's either going to be money. Am I going to make you money or save you money? That's a big emotional motivation. Another one is physical need. Are you going to help me physically, healthy? There's a physical need that's driving you to come to my side. Another one is comfort, convenience, pleasure. Does it make me feel good? Does it make me want to get up in the morning? Does it make my coffee sweeter? Does it make my pillow fluffier at night? That's another one. And here's the big three. Security. Whether it's politics or sales, some people can use fear to scare the bejesus out of you. And it's very, very effective. So, can I provide that security to make you safe? Safe from financial harm, physical harm, or all other types of ills. If I can provide that, then you can bring me over to your side. Also, scarcity. Is there enough to go around? If you can convince me that there's not enough, that it's limited supply, I am much more likely to jump on board than if the supply is abundant and limitless. So security, fear, scarcity, and of course, the social proof, the desire to belong. Is it, I want to be part of this big tent. I want to be part of this. This is something that's greater than me, something I'm going to feel like an outsider if I'm not in. That is a very, very powerful motivator. Whether it's trying to get customers, whether it's trying to get votes, whether you're trying to get elected, or you're trying to create a successful business. These six things are emotional reasons that's going to motivate people to come over to your side. Doesn't matter whether it's votes or sales. The second thing you've got to look at is the competition. You have to exploit the weakness of your competition. Whether it's Hillary, whether it's Donald, each one has to exploit the weaknesses of the other. You have to find out who your competition is first, whether it's who the primary competitors are and who the secondary competitors are. Okay, the primary could be the person that's staring you in the eyes that's doing exactly what you do. The secondary could be all of their allies, people that may or may not vote for you, but people that have the influence to influence others. So that's part of that competition that you got to fight. How do you compare to them? How does your service compare to theirs? What is their strength? What is their experience level? And can you exploit it? Doesn't matter whether it's votes or whether it's sales you're trying to get. Here's an interesting one also, the life cycle. Every industry product known to man goes through a life cycle. So does political processes and people. We go through the introduction stage. It's new, it's novel, but guess what? Nobody knows about it, so you gotta spend all your time educating people. Let's look at the political process through these cycles. In the introduction stage, we find somebody like Gary Johnson, a libertarian. Nobody knows about him. Some people do, but not enough. So he's got to spend all of his time trying to convince people of what his beliefs are, his platform, what he's going to do for the country. So introduction means you're an unknown. People have to find out about you. The second phase is the growth phase. It's explosive. It's exciting. Everybody wants it. We can put Bernie Sanders in that group. Growth. But you also, at that point, you got to start building credibility. So if that all that explosive and growth is not channeled, then you may end up on the short end of the stick. We go through the other cycle called the maturity. Everybody knows about you, but do they really want you? You got to start differentiating yourself from everybody else. We might put Hillary Clinton in that group. She's in the maturity phase of the political cycle. Then we have the decline. The party's over. The light's almost out. There we can talk about the Republican Party. So we can apply these cycles to just about anything, particularly whether it's sales, whether it's marketing, and even politics themselves. Let's talk about some others. No type of sale or vote is complete unless you're doing the sales process. You must get involved in the sales process. And there's three components that everybody, whether you're getting votes, sales, customers, or voters. Benefits. What are the benefits? What problem are you going to solve for me?
Yeah.
What problem are you going to solve for me? And if you can't spell those benefits out, then you have a long road to hoe and you're not going to make it. Okay? And guess what? Whether it's trying to, I'm going to help you get a better job. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to make your life better. I'm going to provide education. What are those benefits? Whether it's sales or whether it's votes, you have to provide the benefits. Then, once the benefits have become clear, people are going to have objections. It's okay, how are you going to do that? You don't have enough experience. When you put that objection out there, you have to have a way to overcome it. You're not in my party. You don't have the experience that I need. Or you're weak on defense. You have to be able to overcome that. So what we saw on the political stage over the last 2 weeks, speaker after speaker after speaker were in the role of overcoming the objections of their leader. Whether it was on Mike Pence speaking for Donald Trump, or Tim Kaine speaking for Hillary Clinton, whether it's Reverend Barber, whether it's Cory Booker, whether it's Michelle Obama, it didn't matter. What they were trying to do is overcome those objections that people may have had about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And then finally, nothing is complete until you close the deal. Until you close the deal. This is something I ask to anybody who's in sales, particularly those and those who are in politics, who have political aspirations. You haven't completed the job until you close. That's called asking for the sale. You also have to remember, sometimes sales is a multi-step process. It's not good enough to just say, vote for me, particularly if the person hasn't registered.
So sometimes that call to action may mean an intermediary step to get to the final close. So that's why people have voter registration drives, because how can you get somebody to vote if they're not registered? Benefits, overcoming objections, and closing. Now, everybody in sales, everybody in politics should understand you can't get from A to Z without service.
Absolutely.
That's why we have to go through the commandments of customer service. You have to understand the value of the customer or the voter. You have to stay in touch with the customers or the voter. Yep. You have to listen to the customers or the voters. You have to keep your promises to the customers or the voters. You have to deal with complaints for the customers or the voters. You have to learn the power of yes. You have to be helpful. Take time to explain how it works. You have to train the people around you to treat others well. And always, whether it's customers, voters, votes, or sales, you have to exceed expectations at all times. I'm going to wrap this up with the five tasks. I wrote this a long time ago. It's called the five tasks of marketing. This applies to the political process as well. And it's an acronym, T-A-S-K-S. It can be the five tasks of marketing, or it can be the five tasks of the political process. The first thing you have to do is target. Make sure you are targeting the right audience. Everybody is not your customer or your voter. Number two is advertise. You have to find out who that group is, and you have to get in front of them with the message and a way to beat the competition. And you have to find the tools that's going to get you there. People say that social media propelled Barack Obama to the White House. So you have to find the tools that are applicable to your audience. S for the task, T-A-S. Simplify the process. You got to make it easy to understand. That was another role of the speakers in these platforms and these conventions. They have to break it down so that somebody understands how to do it. What I have to do to get from point A to point B. If you can't do that, folks, your folks cannot vote for you, and they cannot buy your product if they don't understand how to do it. So S is simplify the process. The K of T-A-S-K-S is know what is going on. You have to know your customers. You have to know your metrics. You have to know the industry. And you have to know what the competition is doing at all times. T-A-S-K. And then we're going to end on S. S is serve like your life depends on it. Because guess what, folks? It does. There's not much difference between politics and marketing and sales and business. It all boils down to people understanding the people in the process. That's going to wrap up our show for today. This is The Marketing Pulpit. I'm Robert Gatewood. I'll be back next week. And if you want to be successful, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing at the right time, and you got to do it right. Enough talk. Let's get to work.
Marketing Pulpit with Robert Gatewood. For a limited time, schedule a free 30-minute face-to-face with Mr. Gatewood by visiting gatewoodmarketing.com or by calling 1-877-235-1162. When the going gets tough, the tough call Gatewood. Visit gatewoodmarketing.com today.